I got a message I want to talk to you about today. You ever been driving a vehicle and suddenly the engine began to lose power, just die? Or maybe you had an older vehicle and had a lot of miles on it and it just didn't have the power it used to have. We'd say, well, it's seen its better days. You know, things on earth lose their power, but the things of God never lose power. The Word is still full of life and power. The Spirit of God is still powerful. Today I want to remind you of something. There's still power in the blood. You know, many don't say much about the blood of Jesus anymore. In our modern day society, preaching about the blood is not acceptable and not popular. But let me tell you something. Without the blood of Jesus, we have nothing. You know, I remember in our church services when I was a kid growing up. Of course, I've been in church all my life. Born one Sunday, most of you know, and I was in church the next Sunday, my dad's church. I went to the platform when I was 19 months old because my sister was born. And back in those days, you just had a one-room church. And you had one door, and it was the front door or the back door, depending on whether you was inside or outside. And, you know, there wasn't no nurseries. And so my mom had my sis, and dad took me and set me on the platform. And somebody said, you know, even when I started school, my teacher said, well, Hagin, you get up and talk in front of the class and you're not afraid of people. I said, I don't guess not. I've been on platforms since I was 19 months old. But we would have special services and there'd be powerful times of worship talking about, and they'd be preaching about the blood of Jesus. You know, the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians. In Ephesians 2:12, I'll give you a chance to turn there. My wife gets on to me. She said, I go too fast because, see, I just cut and paste all my scriptures. I don't have to turn to them. And then she said, people are trying to turn and you're already gone to the by them a long way. So I'll slow down a little bit. All right. Ephesians 2:12. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. I'm reading from the NLT today. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. You did not know the covenant promises that God had made to them. You lived in a world without God and without hope. But now you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. It's a great picture that Paul makes vivid of what the blood of Jesus has done for us. Now we got to recognize that power. Many people don't recognize the power in the blood of Jesus. Skip over to Hebrews 9:11. Hebrews 9:11. It says, so now Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered the greater and more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by hands and is not a part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once and for all and secured our redemption. These verses show that the power of God is in the blood of Jesus. Nothing could redeem mankind. Nothing could free us from the hand of Satan. Nothing could change you from being a sinner to a child of God. Now let's go back and think for a minute here what all this represents. See, in the Old Testament, they brought goats and calves to the priest for a sacrifice, and they sprinkled the blood on the altar for an atonement or a covering for sin. Every year they had to do this. You can find all about it if you want to go back and read in Leviticus. Get home, read Leviticus 1 through about 15, verse 15, I think it is. The blood of these animals was sprinkled on the altar. Then the high priest, with fear and trembling, after much cleansing, you can read all about that, we don't have time to talk about it, would take the blood and go into the Holy of Holies. One time a year is the only time anybody went into the Holy of Holies. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where they would sprinkle the blood there between the cherubims. The power of God resided in that ark. It says that Jesus took his blood, the Lamb of God, and entered the Holy of Holies one time. For all, forever. When he hung on that cross, on Golgotha's hill, suspended between heaven and earth, and I say it like this sometimes, God took two boards and three nails and built a bridge from where mankind can come from the degradation of sin to the Holy of Holies. At least we go into all of that. Jesus was hanging on that cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he says, it is finished. Draws one last breath, and his head slumps to his chest, and his life is gone. But at that moment, in the temple, there was a curtain. And they say it was around 3 feet tall, and maybe 3 feet wide, and maybe 20 feet tall. And it split from top to bottom. When he took and shed that blood, God said, no longer will my presence rest in the Ark of the Covenant. But from now on, because of the power in the blood, my presence will reside in my man that I created, that the devil stole in the Garden of Eden, and I'm taking him back. It all comes through the power in the blood. The power in the blood. Romans 5:9 says, and since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from our condemnation. Many people wonder how God looks at us. God looks at us as redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That blood that has wiped away all of our sin. That blood that has delivered us from condemnation. That blood that has transformed us from sinner to the righteousness of God in Christ. That blood that erased all of our sin. There used to be an old song we sang, an old account was settled, and it was settled long ago. We had an account of sin, but because Jesus Christ's blood, he took that blood and he wiped that account clean, and no more is that there against us. Don't even think about it. When the blood of Jesus was applied to your heart, everything that you did in the past has been done away with. There is no condemnation because of the blood of Jesus. Isaiah 53:25 says, I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. If he blotted them out, is it not thinking about them? What are you thinking about them for? God will not bring up the past sin. Someone said, God put all my sins in the sea of forgetfulness and he put us up a sign, no fishing. The power of the blood of Jesus is one of the secrets of the victorious Christian life. Our whole Christian life is based upon the blood. It enables us to have a new life, to have a new start, to have a new heart, or I should say a new spirit, because when we talk about heart in the Word of God, it's talking about our spirit. The blood of Jesus has freed us from the sinful nature that came to us because Adam sold out to the devil when he was tempted. But because of the blood of Jesus, we've now become the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, we used to sing those old songs. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. And then we might go into this one. Are you washed? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And then we'd go into the power and the blood. And that first verse says, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you o'er evil the victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. And now in the modern day, we sing Andre Crouch's song, the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. That blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never, 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 never lose its power. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Thank God for the blood. It's the blood that saves. It's the blood that strengthens. It's the blood that delivers us. That blood is still the same today as it was yesterday. It will never lose its power. We're protected and we're kept safe by the blood of Jesus. We're delivered and justified by the blood of Jesus. Oh, man. Through the blood of Jesus, every promise in the Word of God became ours. It's up to you to claim it in Jesus' name. You know, many people, they'll say, oh yeah, I know about the blood. Yeah, thank God I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And that's it. But you have to activate that blood. The power in that blood. You activate it. It's like, I come into this building the other day. For some reason, I had to walk over here and to one of the offices. And so I just said, well, I'm going to go in the auditorium. Actually, it was after hours. I don't know why I came over here. And I came through the back. I walked through that curtain. Man, it's black in here. They had no lights on. But you know what? When a switch was activated, I had lights. Even though the lights were there all the time. Until they were activated, I was in the dark. You can know about the blood of Jesus. You can read all the scriptures about the blood of Jesus. But until you activate that blood for yourself, it's not doing you any good. The power of that blood is not doing you any good. Romans 12, 11 says, and they have defeated him. Who's him? That's the enemy, the devil. By the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, by their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. The power in the blood of Jesus must be activated. If you're going to walk in victory, you have to agree with the Word of God concerning the blood and what the blood has accomplished, and make that confession and make that statement. How? By speaking the Word of God out of your mouth. You ever heard the saying, I plead the blood? Many of us have. I used to hear it all the time. You don't hardly hear it at all now. In fact, you don't hardly hear anybody talking about the blood of Jesus anymore. Pleading the blood. Somebody said, oh, you're begging. No, you're not begging. Somebody said, that sounds like a statement of unbelief. No. Pleading the blood is simply asking God for what the blood has accomplished. Pleading the blood is a statement of faith concerning what happened at Calvary. Pleading the blood activates the power in the blood of Jesus for you, whatever your need. That blood gives you that abundant life that Jesus talks about in John 10:10. That blood gives you life so that you can will not die and declare the works of the Lord. That blood is what makes you worthy and acceptable to walk into the throne room of God the Father. He says, come boldly. You can't come boldly to the throne of grace when you're walking with condemnation. That blood that has forgiven you of all of your unrighteousness and made you righteous. That blood that has delivered you from Satan's hold. That blood, the blood of Jesus. Power in the blood. I haven't preached a message on the blood of Jesus in a long time. I asked you, church, to forgive me because I should be preaching on the blood all the time. We mention it, but we don't really get down to preaching. We've got to realize everything that we have is based on the blood that Jesus shed on that hill outside of Jerusalem called Golgotha. Our whole Christianity is based on that. The blood of Jesus. When sickness comes, disease comes, when pestilence knocks at the door, when lack knocks at your door, when no security knocks on your door, and fear comes, plead the blood. Plead the blood. When the storm clouds arise on the horizon and everything is black all around you, plead the blood. Plead the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. We sing the songs. There's nothing like the name of Jesus. There's nothing else that can accomplish what Jesus did at Calvary. We cannot have all that the Word says belongs to us until we understand the power in the blood. There's still power in the blood. We maintain our righteousness through the power in the blood. The power in the blood is all you need
to live a victorious life? The blood of Jesus. Think about it for a moment. You don't have to raise a goat or a calf that has no blemishes and take and bring it here once a year so we can slaughter it and sprinkle the blood. You see, they would sprinkle that blood on the altar and then they would take it into the Holy of Holies. But then they had what they called an escape goat. And it would wipe that blood all over that animal. And they would take and turn it loose in the wilderness. That was a sign of the blood carrying their sin. They had to do that every year. Every year. But because that one and only Lamb, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, said, let this cup pass, but if not, I'll drink the cup. He became sin that we could become righteous. He didn't sin. He willfully took it so that we could become righteous. And he took that blood and he went up to the Father and he said, this is my blood that was shed for the sins of mankind. And God said, no longer will we have to do that. But one time you come, you ask for forgiveness of sin and you're cleansed. And then you live in line with the Word of God. And that power in the blood is there available for you all of the time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for power in the blood. Power in the blood. Everybody stand. You say you didn't preach very long. I didn't, but I preached good. You don't have to preach long to preach a good sermon. See, preaching is different than teaching. Teaching, you have to establish it. Preaching, you just, I don't know what you call it, but you do it anyway. I love to preach. Most of the time I teach, but I love to preach. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's power in the blood. Turn to your neighbor, another neighbor, and tell them there's power in the blood. Hallelujah. What are we going to sing, boys?
The blood that Jesus shed for me. Anybody thankful? Way back on Calvary. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from death.
Oh, yes, yeah, it's a
Anybody in this congregation, you need healing. You need whatever you need. Finances, deliverance from depression, whatever. I want you to raise your hands and begin. You got to do it. I can't lead you in it, but you got to talk. Just begin to say, okay, I take the blood of Jesus over every one of my situation, whatever it is. You just name it. Call it by name. I plead the blood of Jesus. I release the blood, the power in the blood of Jesus to correct it, to change everything in my life. Go ahead. You're going to have to do it. You do your own praying. You do your own praying. You tell the devil where to get off by the power in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. Hallelujah. Well, did anybody get anything this morning? Amen. Listen, because of what our social distances, can't help it, nor I don't have. I never like to preach a message. I don't give people a chance to find Jesus as their Savior, apply that blood to their hearts, or to rededicate their lives to God. So we, in this congregation, if you've never accepted Christ, or if you have accepted but you're not where you're supposed to be and you need to rededicate your life, or if you're watching out there and you need to accept Jesus or you need to rededicate to your, I want you to repeat this prayer after me right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son Jesus. I believe that he came and lived and he died on a cross and he shed his blood for my salvation, that you raised him from the dead. You said in your holy word that if I would believe those things in my heart and confess it with my mouth, I would be saved. I thank you, Lord, that I am saved. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus because I believe those things in my heart and I confess them with my mouth. I am a new person in Christ, never to be the same again. And Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're in this congregation and you happen to pray that prayer with us in rededication or for the first time, if you see one of these people in the red shirt, they're one of our ushers, we would like to know about it. So let them know. If you prayed that prayer with us and where you're watching, you can go to your computer and go to partnerservice@rhema.org and tell us about it, and we'll get back in contact with you if you leave us an address. We are so thankful for everybody that was here today. Amen. Hey, practice social distancing. Don't shake hands. If somebody wants to and you don't want to, just say, hey, I'm not shaking hands, bump elbow or something, or do this, whatever, you know. And remember, around here, if you won't wear a mask, it's okay. And if you don't wear a mask, it's okay. And don't either one or the other condemn the other because of what they do. Amen. We're going to have a good time in the Lord tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to be here. We're going to start all over. Camp meeting for me started this morning. But we'll start it tonight. Hey, we'll see you at 6 o'clock tonight. Don't forget all the announcements. God bless. We'll see you.